Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And today we're going to be talking about season 2, episode 3 of Ted Lasso called Do the Rightest Thing.
Which is that kind of perky sounding thing that you expect of Ted Lasso. Mm. Do the rightest thing. I mean, he's just like this walking, you know, I don't know, just like a one of those encouraging words kind of thing.
He's a
like,
walking live, laugh, love poster.
Yeah, basically. So yeah, I mean, right. And I think what I've, you know, but we'll get into it in a minute. Let's do all of our disclaimers and stuff first. So we are going
to be cursing and spoiling Ted Lasso.
Right, because Ted Lasso. And we've been watching it. So
yeah.
We are also, I am having a beverage. And my beverage is a sparkling sangria. I learned how to make that at Sangria University. I feel really, really smart.
PhD, and now.
I guess, I want to get a PhD. this has peach liqueur, lemonade, lime juice, and sparkling wine Prosecco, of course, in this case, because that's what I have around the house. And it is super tasty. It's over ice in a nice big glass. Super nice. Mm. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Coke because I had lunch earlier. And so this is what I have. This is what I have around the house or dorm. I have Coke.
It sounds really sad. But, you know, Coke is all American. It's the all American drink. So, you know, you're all American Ted Lasso-y something. I don't know what Sangria has to do with this episode. I'm just making shit up as I go.
I have Cokes and I've had Dr. Pepper for a lot of these. So you're not alone.
All right. So, but you know, it's cool about this season, and I want to talk about it probably more at the end, but one of the things is that, you know, his perky, happy facade of just be a goldfish is faltering. You're seeing cracks in it this mm-hmm. season. And I think it's really kind of cool to explore not just what causes it, because you saw some of those in the first season, but the effects of it in the second season. And, you know, there are things that are happening in this season that, you know, last season he was like, well, you know what, we can't have a tie. You can't be like kissing your sister. And this season it's like nothing but ties. So
I think that's a conversation more for a later episode, because I did watch like 2 last night and I feel like that conversation's more suited for one of those. But
sure.
I agree. I think that it's interesting seeing how Ted's facade, well, not even facade necessarily, but like, I guess it to a certain extent it is, but
his worldview.
Yeah, it's faltering a bit because he's being forced to face a certain kind of reality that he doesn't want to, but we'll get to that. Anyway, we're starting out with a really awesome song. By Alanis Morissette. So love that. And then you have an interesting conversation. Like Ted is going to be going into like Rebecca's office, and he sees this young girl at like Higgins's desk. I don't think it's Higgins' desk. It's just
It's Rebecca's desk.
No. It's before they go into Rebecca's office. But he like sees this girl and she's just kind of sitting there, and he has this fun conversation with her about like horse flies and such. I don't know. But
it turns out to be Nora.
Nora, who's Rebecca's goddaughter, and Sassy is visiting, and Ted finds out that who Nora is, and he says, "Is she mine?" And Sassy says, "We had sex 6 months ago."
Like, you're gonna have a 13-year-old out of this.
12 or 13, I don't know, but yeah. But apparently we find out that Ted was eager to please and good in bed from Sassy, so good for Ted. But
then there's a whole discussion about, because apparently Rebecca's gonna be taking care of Nora for like the weekend or the week or something while Sassy is at a conference or teaching a conference or something like that. Mm-hmm. And
I think for the week.
Right. So they have this like whole discussion about how like she's on the verge of puberty, and they start talking about tampons.
Yeah.
And Rebecca's like, "You can't talk about tampons in front of Ted." And Ted's kind of like, "I'm leaving now," as most guys are when you start talking about tampons. Yeah. But then you know, he rambles, he does some rambling, perky, whatever, as he's walking out the door. And Rebecca asks Sassy, it's like, was he like that during?
Yeah. Saturday? And that's when she's just like, he's eager to please and good. And then,
yeah. Yes, but he talked the whole time.
Yeah. And that sounds about right. And then I just have Yay Trent next, because
they go to this press conference, and the first thing out of Ted's mouth is, you know, he goes all Pat Benatar, well, hit me with your best shot, you know, fire away.
That's cute.
To Trent Crim, because Trent Crim is, and then he like does a bunch of the other lyrics to that Pat Benatar song. But Trent Crim asks about Jamie Tartt.
Mm-hmm. And like the dynamics have changed.
Right.
And then I have a quote. I don't know if it's still at the press conference, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it now. Think of me as his own personal Mr. Miyagi, except without all that extra yard work.
Right. He does say that.
Is that I love that so much. Right. So basically, Ted's mentioning that he's like going to take Jamie under his wing and try to like get his attitude into a better place, especially in comparison with the rest of the team and how they feel.
Right. So his intention, he had said this previously, is to be like a better dad figure or mentor to Jamie, to really like make him a better person. And so that's his personal project. They cut then to Keeley, and Keeley is showing Sam.
To be clear, what they're in the locker room, and you see the clear divide between Jamie and the rest of the players,
because everybody hates Jamie.
Well, he's in the corner doing his thing, and then the rest of the players are like conversing, having fun. And then Keeley comes in and shows Sam the pictures from the Dubai air shoot that he did for the sponsor. And she says, "Your mood, moment, mantra." And Sam just says, "Those sound like compliments." I love Sam. But then Jamie, like, they're all like giving Sam a hard time, being like, "Oh, why would they choose him?" or something like that, all out of good fun. And then Jamie says something, trying to be funny, and nobody laughs.
Right. He's completely ignored. Mm-hmm. We then cut to some things about this dating app Banter that Keeley has started up and wants all the guys to be using. I guess if I remember it, Keeley's just basically telling, "Hey, I want you to like get on Banter and actually do some things." And there's a discussion about it, things being physical and being violent. I cannot remember the context of that.
Well, I don't have anything about that, but I remember that there's one guy who's the Lamborghini guy, Colin, who mentions, "Oh yeah, it's like Grindr, right?" And then they all look at him like, "What?" I don't remember if there. Basically, the concept of Banter is that everything's anonymous and there are no pictures that you can put on the app, so you just, it's all conversation.
It's all personality based, right? So it is an interesting and new concept.
It's not a bad concept, all things considered, but things can still get weird. So
Right. So Jamie then asks, I think, to talk to Keeley. Is that right? Or he has to speak to the team. That's what it is.
Yeah, he wants to apologize to the team. And then one guy, I don't know who it is, but said, "You called me a jaundiced worm."
Well, the team members, he's like, "Well, I've done some bad stuff." And the team members just start like going through this list of bad things that Jamie has done, like hitting on somebody's mom, you know, causing them to get relegated because, you know, he scored and blah, blah, blah. And there's just this ongoing, you know, list of god-awful stuff. And it really is like terrible stuff that he did.
Yeah, but also the Dutch guy who's new, he just says, "I don't know you, but I don't like you." It's in like the midst of all the chaos, but I really loved it. So.
Yeah, he's like Mr. Asperger's. Like, yeah, I'm just going to say whatever's in my head. And whatever's in my head right now is I don't like it.
Yeah, so they don't accept the apology because they need to see more action from him and not just words or apologies and stuff like that. And then we go over to Rebecca, who is at this like childish tea room thing with I'm not saying well, so they're at this like she brought Nora and she's trying to make up for the 6 years that she missed. And she kind of realizes it's like, you don't really want to do this, do you? Like, this is a bit too, you're a little bit older for this. And she's just like, yeah. And it's like, okay, well, let's go somewhere else and have more fun.
Well, to back up too, and you know, Rebecca had all of these things planned because she felt like she had to have things planned to entertain Nora, rather than like engaging Nora and deciding what they were, right? And so among those things is they go to tea. Which, you know, I still like going to tea. Going to tea is fun. But
it's this all is like young children. And
right. It's not adult tea. This is a little kid tea, although it looks pretty tasty. And then she realizes that Nora's not six anymore. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, let's do something else. We cut then to Jamie being told that, look, you've got to be on the reserve team.
Yeah, and as he's talking to Ted about this, he's doing these weird stretches and just kind of like he's jogging in place and then like doing really weird like stretches across the field. Like it's just really funny. Just kind of lunges almost, but like weird.
It looks almost like a yoga class or something. It's just a little strange, like a weird thing. Yeah. I agree.
It's very dreamy, but I think, and then Sam tackles him at one point to get the ball or whatever, and he succeeds in doing that. And Sam kind of like is leaning over him, who's fallen down, and he's just like, things have changed. And so, good for you, Sam. Like,
right. I think he says something at some point, and it might not be here, it might be a little bit later, but he tells Jamie not to bring that weak garbage my way. Don't bring that weak garbage my way. Which is really kind of, you know, it's nice.
Like, it's justified. Like, it's not like he's like trying to be like super mean. He's just like being like kind of playful, but also kind of like, listen, I stepped up during this team and you are going to have to acknowledge that. So.
Right. And the team's different. Things have changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the whole point of a lot of what's going on in this episode, because they start talking about, and I think it's Nora says something to Rebecca about, she's happy about the idea that the team's going to kill Jamie.
They basically, Nora and Rebecca are just kind of walking down the street, and I think this is one of my favorite scenes. Like, it's interrupted a little bit, but I'm just gonna go through, like, this is just like, this is perfect, because I'm gonna go ahead and admit, I love this episode, and so like here's the part that really just kills me. So they're talking, and this is actually kind of funny because I recently read this with my friend, but Rebecca mentions that they could go see the Agatha Christie play where someone dies every performance, usually in the audience because they're all old. But me and my friend actually like recently read that.
The Mousetrap.
That was really funny.
The Mousetrap.
And then they stop by, they see this like doll shop that's basically, it's the British girls shop. And it's basically supposed to be American girls, but British. And they all have tragic backstories where their parents have all died of different causes. And they, like, they're always, oh my God, it's so funny. It's so amazing.
I'm going to cut in here because Rebecca was like, yeah, the Americans did do that better. And Nora's like, well, it would have been better if they weren't all orphans. It's like they have these tragic backstories. Like one died of dysentery.
Oh, and then also, basically, I think Nora says nobody does orphans better than us Brits, which is so true. That's so funny. And then you see Roy and Phoebe, his niece Phoebe, like leaving the store, and he got her a doll, and that's where that scene like cuts off a little bit. And so then there's this little part with Sam, who's like working, like stretching and like working out a little bit. And he's texting his dad the pictures from the Dubai air shoot. And then his dad sends back, oh my God, you're supporting this company, because it is owned by an oil company that had a major oil spill in Nigeria. And it ruined a lot of land and a lot of stuff. And so his dad's fairly disappointed that Sam would support the company. And then we go back to that group of Phoebe, Nora, Rebecca, and Roy, which I love this group. It's so funny.
It is very cute.
And Nora's talking to Phoebe and she's like making conversation and being like, so how did your doll's parents die? And Phoebe's like, oh, they didn't die. They were canceled. They're from the new modern age group.
One of the things I love about this though is like Roy took Phoebe in there and she is in love with the doll and she's so thrilled to have it. And like, you know, that is so true. You know, you had, and I'm outing you here, yeah, a bunch of American Girl dolls.
I did indeed.
Yeah. And I honestly felt like they were awesome and we all kind of enjoyed, you know, getting them.
And I would read the stories too, for the most part. I would read all of their stories.
Yeah. So
some of them were more tragic than others.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But the concept is super cool, but I do find it hilarious that they're doing this like warped parody. Take. The parody of it.
It's fantastic. I love that they included this.
I do too. But you know, they talk about Rebecca and Roy are talking, and you know, you focused on the girls. I focused on.
Oh no! I have so many quotes from this conversation. It's insane. But you can go ahead.
That's fine.
Okay, fine. Rebecca is basically talking, she's on the dating app right now and with no photos so that you can get unsolicited descriptions of dicks. Then she's not on there for that reason, but like they mentioned that. And I think Roy says unsolicited that one.
One of the things that he asks is, are you still with this John guy? And she's like, no, I broke up with him. Yeah, and then, she has moved on. And then they also talk about the girls, like, well, you know.
Yeah, and this is where you get to see like the relationship between Phoebe and Roy a little bit better, which is so funny to me because Phoebe says, Uncle Roy, can we have ice cream for dinner? And then he's like, no, that's dumb. And she's like, you're right. Thanks for helping me set boundaries. I love that so much.
Right.
But then Rebecca says, wow, she really loves you. And Roy says, I know, it's really fucking annoying.
Right. He says that, but then he points out something. He's like, here's the thing. You feel like you're supposed to entertain them and all these other things. But all they want is to know that you're important in their lives.
Well,
they and be part of it.
Well, yeah, they want to be a part of the adult world because that fascinates them. And I think that's true to a certain extent.
And then, as an example, he throws out to Phoebe, hey, you want to come to my podiatrist appointment? Oh, can I?
Yeah, it's really funny. But I think that's a really valid point of like, if you, especially once kids get to a certain age, they are fascinated more by the world around them than like the things that people try to make up to entertain them. And I think that it's a nice, like, it's a good thing to show, like, oh yeah, they just kind of want to be a part of your world to a certain extent. And so Rebecca thinks about that. And that night she knocks on Nora's door and she's like, hey, do you want to come to work with me? And
watch a scary movie and have popcorn and that kind of
stuff. Yeah, but then she mentions that, do you want to go to work with me tomorrow? And she's like, yes, I've been wanting to do that for a while now. And she's like, oh, when did you want to start doing that? And she's like, ever since you started doing it. And it's like, yeah.
So she was that little girl who wanted to have the eggplant suit, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. And then there's this really random there's this really funny moment. It's in the morning. Ted is he's walking out of the apartment or whatever, and the schoolgirl from before who would play soccer a lot hands him the coffee, and instead, because she was told by Coach Beard to do that, and she's like, oh yeah, Coach Beard just said, he just mumbled the name Jane then sprinted away. And you get a lot more like context for that later on, but Jane is his girlfriend, and it's so
I think funny. Yeah,
I love the image that like paints, because it's just like Jane and then it sprints away.
Right, so then they show up, Nora and Rebecca show up at the offices. And Higgins is there, and Higgins is like, oh, who's this? And Rebecca introduces her, and he's like sucking up to Rebecca, like big time in front of Nora. And Rebecca doesn't pick up on it.
Yeah. Well, no, Rebecca eventually is like, what are you doing? And then Higgins is like, I'm trying to hype you up, make you look good. And it's like, don't do that.
and Nora's kind of like, well, you blew that.
Yeah. Like, and then they go to Rebecca's office and Keely's there, because Keely didn't think that Rebecca was coming in that day, but she's just like hanging out in Rebecca's office. And
she thought Rebecca and Nora were going to be off doing
whatever.
Yeah.
And then Nora and Keely end up start talking about the dating app and the marketing for it. And you can tell that Nora's really interested in it. And so they get to like talk shop on that. And it's a fun conversation and it's nice to see. And then you go to like the coach's office, and I don't know if there's something before this part, but Nate mentions that he downloaded Banter and immediately deleted it.
Right. So there's this discussion about, yeah, because I guess Keely, because she is the marketing director for the team, mm-hmm. Has been asking everybody, oh, get on Banter and you just kind of do stuff with it so that it looks like it's a cool thing to do, so that it hypes it up a little bit. And so Nate's like, oh no, I deleted it immediately because, you know, I'm picky and women are pickier and you know, that kind of thing. And he makes all these excuses for it. But then, you know, Ted starts doing some reverse psychology on him about, you know, like, you know, dating women and just, you know, having anything to do with women. And so there's this whole discussion about that. Jamie comes in.
Oh, really quickly, before Jamie comes in, Beard mentions that him and Jane now share an iCloud account, and it's what they call digital intimacy.
Right, and that's why he can't have Banter, because if he had Banter, she would like probably kill him.
Yeah. It's a very, very toxic relationship.
Yeah. Oh, it
you get into that later, but it's fine.
So much worse.
But then Jamie comes in.
Yeah, Jamie comes in and he's basically trying to buy people's affection. I mean,
it's just, PS5.
What?
With the PS5.
Oh yeah, he's like, you know, trying to basically buy people's affection with it. And oh yeah, I'll get you this, I'll get you that. And it's like, no. So then we have Ted, and he's saying that, you know, the team needs to meet that guy, Led Tasso.
And then Beard says, Led Tasso, the last resort.
But Beard's like, no, anything but that. And Nate's like, what's Led Tasso? You know, just like, he thinks he's a real person. He doesn't even get the, like, it's just reversing the letters. It's so funny. Mm-hmm.
And then they go to Rebecca's office. And you can tell that Nora has a crush on Sam, because when he comes in, she's like, ah. And I'm
who
like,
who doesn't have Nora? A crush on Sam? I mean, come on.
Sam doesn't. But then Sam mentions the issue with the sponsor, and Rebecca says she'll take care of it. And apparently,
But there are some lines in there. You know, like, she says something to Sam, and there's a discussion about, oh, you're the girl with like legs frozen or something. And he's like, frozen is a wonderful metaphor for puberty.
Yeah, he does say that.
It's so funny. But yeah, he wants out of it. And Rebecca's like, oh yeah, I can make that happen. She's a lot more optimistic than she should be about that.
Well, I mean, I think she has a right to be optimistic, because the head of the oil company is an old friend of Rupert's and clearly had a thing for Rebecca at one point. And so she calls him up. I think that actually is later. Never mind. She doesn't call him up yet. But
it's later. But later it gets funny. So, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. So Ted comes out to the practice or the training as an angry man. And he's such a milquetoast appearing person that is comical to me. Like when he tries to act tough or headbanging and metal and all this other stuff, is really, really, really.
It's hilarious.
And he's basically being an ass. He's just like an ass to the team. And he's like, you know, anything they do, whatever they do, they're going to get punished for it.
Basically. And he's basically trying to give the team a common enemy. and so that they aren't always just making the Jamie the enemy. And so he also says something like, toes are feet fingers, now touch each other's toes. And it's just, instead of your own toes, you're touching everybody else's. It's kind of funny. And then
and they're all kind of like, what?
No, and then he's like, okay, y'all are going to do some laps. And then he says, y'all are going to be so dehydrated that you'll start looking like a tree from any Tim Burton movie, including Dumbo.
You haven't seen the live action Dumbo.
I haven't, creepy. And I don't want to.
It is like super creepy, so yeah.
I assumed it's Tim Burton, but I don't really care about it. But
then
we get to the phone call for Rebecca.
Right. So Rebecca calls up this oil company owner, and there's clearly this flirtation, and she's basically tell him, look, you know, I can't come to your house because you have a wife, you kind of thing, you know, just like all of these things.
He's on a
yacht. And she's like, oh yeah, we've just got this guy who doesn't want to do this promotional thing for Dubai Air. That's fine, right? And the response is, yeah, you need to get rid of him.
Well, he says yes, but you do need to get rid of him. And so that's dramatic and all that stuff. But then you see at practice, Jamie stands up for the team because he's just like, hey, Ted, you're being really harsh on them. Hey, stop or whatever. And Ted just is like, fine, practice is over then. And so, but as they're leaving, the team kind of like pats Jamie on the back, but like, thanks for at least trying or whatever. And so it gains a little bit of like good
bread.
Yeah, it's good. And then Coach Beard, as like led Tasso, is leaving the field. Coach Beard claps in his face and Ted shakes his head just like, how long was I out? It's like he was under like hypnosis or something. It's really
funny. Totally missed that part. But as he's leaving, Ted talks to the doctor.
And she's like, has this tactic ever worked? And then they're just like, no, either. But then they mentioned like Chuck E. Cheese and how it might be different in the UK. It might be Charles Entertainment Cheese the Fourth. I think it's even a better like joke in the show. It's just really funny.
Nora and Rebecca then start talking about this dilemma about what she can do about this idea of getting rid of Sam. And you know, Rebecca's kind of like, I'm not gonna do it, basically.
Well, Nora says something that's really interesting. Rebecca needs to do the right thing even if she loses.
Right.
And I think that's fair.
It's fair, but yeah, in many ways, she has the oversimplistic view of a 13-year-old. and it's not nearly as simple as she wants it to be.
But Rebecca's going to like use that information and kind of like figure things out in her own way. But it's good advice for Rebecca in that moment. But
Jamie goes to pester Keely.
And Keely in her office has a cutout of Roy. And I love that. It's just in the corner.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
And that you didn't notice? It's like in the corner. And Jamie kind of looks at it and it's like, ah. Jamie basically asks for her advice about the team. And Keely's like, okay. And just takes him to the doctor and is like, all right, talk to her.
And she's paid to listen to you. I'm not, basically. Exactly. Like, and, bye.
And he's like, okay, so. Well, and then, well, really quickly, Jamie, he's like, okay, so do I just start talking about myself? And she's like, yeah, basically. And it's just like, wow, okay. And then just starts talking. And then this is actually a really funny moment because Nora is helping Rebecca draft an email to the oil company head guy. And Nora's like saying, okay, she's like saying a certain thing, and then Rebecca's like filtering it in
She's translating into something corporate acceptable. She's saying things like, you know, like go fuck yourself, like or things like
I that. Hope that you and your wife are doing well. And then it's but it actually really reminds me of me and my friend who who usually like have to like send each other like, does this sound right in like an email, just like, does this sound appropriate for this? And then I'm just like, maybe filter this out or something,
right? So it's like Nora's like saying a line and Rebecca types up but they're speaking it, and so at the end every time Nora had said something, Rebecca like
changes
read her translation into corporate speak. They, you know, it changes, but at the end, Nora's like, signed, boss ass bitch. And Rebecca's like, signed, NASA, boss ass bitch.
I love that she keeps that in. And then she's like, send. And it's just like, fun. But then, can I please? Because I actually recorded this part because I have it like just on in a video. I needed to have this. Basically, we're at the newscast with the pundits, and they ask about Jamie to like they ask Roy about Jamie, and Roy says verbatim, and I wrote this specifically. Jamie Tart is a Muppet, and I hope he dies of the incurable condition of being a little bitch.
I wrote that down to you verbatim because I love that so fucking much.
Every part of that is perfect. I love it so much.
Yes. I there are many people I would love to have die from the incurable condition of being a little bitch because they are. And then like the guy who the other pundit who's like a manager you know, says something to him like, oh, that's inappropriate or whatever. And Roy's response is, yeah, you were a shit manager. I mean, he's not taking it from anybody.
I love it. And then they go over to the match and Rebecca and Nora are sitting together and Rebecca shows Nora how the Dubai Air guy responded to the email with just fine. And so she's like, great. And Rebecca's talking to Keely and she says, I'm going to insult something and then try it because I'm a good friend. She's going to try the dating app. And yeah. then in the locker room,
there's Sam. Yeah.
Yeah. Sam decides and on the jerseys, they have the Dubai Air logo on the front. And Sam makes the decision to cover it up with some tape.
Because basically black duct tape.
He doesn't want to promote it. And so, he mentions that to the other players when he's asked about it, and then one of like I think Isaac covers his up next, and then he's just like, well, I understand if nobody else wants to, if it doesn't mean
anything. He's not even asking anybody to. He's not even saying I understand if nobody else wants to. He's like, look, I need to do this, and the other players from Nigeria, we have a reason to be doing this. And Jamie's just like, give me the tape.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm a member of this team too.
Yeah,
and so they basically all come out with the blacked out Dubai Air.
Yeah, and then you get to see the press conference afterwards. Everybody's talking about it, and then but also there's a
Oh no! You skipped a couple of things. So. Jamie, like when they come out onto the pitch and he's got that blacked out, the pub is like singing the Jamie Tart song. They're so excited that he's back.
I think it's just because I hate the Jamie Tart song that I didn't write that down.
Right. And during the match, because after they come out with this blacked out, Rebecca's getting like all these calls from Dubai Air guy and whatever. She's
just declines them.
And so then they go to the press conference after because they did not win.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter because Ted basically brings Sam in and is just like, this is not my place to talk about it. I stand by what they did, but I'm going to have Sam talk about why. And Sam basically is like mentioning what the sponsor did in Nigeria and well, the oil company. And
I love the way he phrases it too. So part of this is cool. Like Trent Crim is asking him about, well, do you think that, you know, this blacking the things out led to your loss today? And Sam's like, if you're here to talk about the match, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about how the Nigerian government is corrupt and has been allowing Dubai Air to, you know, basically do nothing about this oil spill that caused all this environmental damage.
And I want to mention, I failed to mention how Ted leads into it. He basically says that it was courageous for Sam to do that because people like Ted don't usually have to ask for things to be written about them. And I think that's a very powerful statement. I think it's very accurate. And so that's when Sam like takes over and does that whole thing. And the whole team is cheering Sam on and afterwards.
Right, they go into the locker room. He's like, why are you celebrating? We lost. And they're like, we broke our tie streak.
Yeah. Jamie cheers to Sam. He gives like this whole he gives a toast, and he's just like, for this prick, like, or something like that, for outshining me or something, and everybody's cheering, and that's fun. And then they take a really cute picture with everybody, including Nora.
And
it's
Nora has to stand by Sam, and she's like, I'm standing by Sam, this is the best thing.
And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. So what was your best part?
Sam, Roy, and Rebecca. Roy, simply because of that one line and the conversation about the American Girl doll things, or the British Girl things, that whole scene. And Rebecca, because I really liked that whole thing, and her and Nora were fun. And Sam, for I think it was handled well. I think that they didn't, they could have gone a lot of different ways with it, but I think I'm glad they went the way they did. And yeah, what about you?
My best part, I got Nora and Rebecca drafting a letter. I thought that was hilarious and beautiful. Roy and Phoebe, because, you know, again, one of the things I love about Roy is, like a lot of guys, he can boil it down into, like, you know, just like this very basic guy thing of, all I want is to have time, spend time with you. And it's like, you don't expect him to get that. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't expect him to get kids that way. So I love that he's got this other aspect to him that is not just the part that I am so in love with, which is him talking about people, you know, dying from the incurable condition of being a little bitch. I mean, that is absolutely like the third thing in my favorites for this episode, because Roy is amazing. And I think that that's really awesome. Mm-hmm. So did you have a worst part?
I couldn't really think of anything for worst part. I was having a lot of trouble. I guess maybe the oil person and his, like, him talking with Rebecca, that whole thing. Like, I didn't really, well, obviously, like, I don't like that he was going to be like, oh yeah, just fire Sam just because he doesn't want to do a sponsorship with us. Like, that's so stupid. But, like, whatever. I guess that's my least favorite part. What about you?
We're getting into where I think we're probably going to diverge a lot about this season of Ted Lasso. So my worst part is basically that the plot has, like, there is no plot. It's really very aimless to me. I'm starting to get the feeling that this season is like, you know, there's a very meta feel about it. Like, this is what a sophomore slump is. It's an identity crisis, right? And so like they're like exploring all these aspects of identity crisis, but they're not moving. It's not moving in any direction. You're not seeing like there's an end goal. You're not seeing that there is anything other than this kind of self-absorption. Well, let me finish, and then you know, I know you're going to disagree about it, but it's kind of like it's aimless. I guess that's really what my complaint is about this episode. And I feel like that's true of several of the episodes going forward.
Well, I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I don't agree with it, but I can see where you're coming from with that. But to a certain extent, I felt like a lot of last season was also a little bit aimless in certain areas. There was a through line of, oh, we don't want to get relegated. And Rebecca wanting to get rid of Richmond or humiliate them and whatever, but most of the time the plot wasn't necessarily of each episode wasn't necessarily like focused on that, except for like the beginning and the end. Like in the middle there was a lot of stuff that was divergent of that, and I guess Ted proving himself as a big through line, but I think that what they're trying to do right now is just to give a lot of the different characters some time and some different kinds of things, and a lot of the characters don't have anything to do with like the main plot of the show, or at least like aren't playing a major role in it. Like Rebecca doesn't really have anything to do right now other than like just kind of do her thing. And I'm glad they brought back Sassy and Nora. I think that was something they should do, because it was a major thing that she wanted to remedy. And with Sam like sticking up for all that stuff, I think it's a good message. I can agree that it doesn't necessarily have much to do with anything, but I think that it is a good message for him to do. And it gives him more of a character, which will be important later to a certain extent. I also think that the whole idea that they started out with in this season with the identity crisis stuff, I think some of these episodes are mostly to prove that it takes time and that like they're taking the time to just kind of focus on other things. And then they're going to get around to actually like addressing it. Cause in a few episodes time, it's going to happen. Like they're going to be some strides in that kind of thing.
But, well, yeah, I think what it is for me is like last season was all about, will they be over as a team? Will they be able to come together and overcome all these obstacles to their survival as a team? Right. I mean, whether or not they get relegated, it was more of, will Ted be able to pull these people together? Right.
I think that's still kind of the goal. Like they're going to try to win the championship.
It to me, the overarching theme here is like the participation trophies. It's all subplots. There is no plot.
It's turning into Bridgerton season two.
Yeah, well, a little bit, yeah. It's like, you know, there's a lot of spinning, you know, I think it is better. The subplots are better written than Bridgerton season two.
Without which is a all, doubt. Like, and I like some of these characters much better.
Right. And there's a lot of tropes and bullshit in Bridgerton season two. So, you know, yes, but there is still that sophomore slump thing of where are we going? What are we going to do? What do we want to be doing? What is there a goal with this other than like the first season of just about any show is, will we be able to get picked up for another one? Right. So they have to be really pretty good. But when you get into that second season with most shows, the second season, you're kind of like, oh, you know, you didn't have anything to say. Right. And that, you know, if they have made enough of a connection with you, with the characters, you ride it out to sea. And of course that's what we're doing, right? Because we like the characters and there are some good jokes still in here, but it doesn't have the richness of even one of the episodes of season one to me. You know, the sub jokes and all the other stuff were much funnier, I think, in the first season. So I'm kind of like, I see it. There are things I love Roy Kent and he can do no wrong. But I'm not seeing progress towards something. So I'm kind of like,
I kind of still disagree because I think that there's a certain, sorry for the background noise, but I think there is a certain amount of progress towards certain realizations, like Roy's mm-hmm. realization that he wants to still be a part of soccer and well, football and that world in a more like intimate sense. And with
maybe that's the point. Like I said, maybe it is a meta thing, like those little successes or little hurdles to overcome mm-hmm. can be as big as the big ones, right?
Yeah.
Or at least personally are. In the last season, it seemed like all those personal things were things to like move toward a bigger goal. And I'm not necessarily seeing that.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. So I know you love this episode. What grade did you give it?
A. I love it. It's really funny. I think that it has a lot of stuff that is important to talk about. I think it had some really good like just points. I didn't mention in best part, but I kind of do feel like it is a best part, is Jamie. I like that he's taking steps to remedy what he's done in the past and realizing that he needs to take action rather than just apologize for it. And I think that him going to the doctor makes a lot of sense. I love that he does that. But I also think that it's just like there were a lot of things that I really appreciated this kind of jokes that they were making in this one. It goes from like beard, like mumbling Jane and sprinting away. That's a really funny image in my head to the British dolls, parents dying. And
the British dolls thing is going to get me every time because every single time. So much of our lives about American Girl.
Exactly. And I think I appreciate those and Lead Tasso and all that stuff. I love, and I also love the doctor being like, has this ever worked? And then being like, but I think that there are certain jokes that just work in this one. And I think that it's gotten better in that in like taking it in its stride. Like, I think they've gotten to the point where it's like a better balance. It's not an even balance necessarily. It's not really quite there yet, but like, I think they're getting better about like balancing the humor and some of the different topics that they're trying to shoehorn in. And yes, this episode doesn't necessarily have topics that really apply to the main characters. It's more like Sam, but I think that I really love this episode. It's really funny.
Oh, cool. No, that's fine. I gave this a B. And the reason that I gave it a B is, at least in part, that all of the big humor to me was not about the team and, you know, that progress, which, you know, I guess what it is like, you know, the premise has been, it's all about AFC Richmond. Well, this wasn't all about AFC Richmond at all.
It's venturing outside of it. And I think that is a good idea for the most part, but I think that there are going to be episodes going forward that are more about the team, but I think that this one, it more strays out of it. And I think that does make sense. That,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to be coming back and we are going to be doing season 2, episode 4, which is Carol of the Bells. And we hope that you will join us. I feel like I should have like some sort of Christmas something for Carol of the Bells. I'm going to think about that. What? You're going to have Coke?
Actually, I just ran out of Coke.
Oh, well, we got to do something. So in any case, we are going to re-liquid and we will be back very soon. And please join us. Re-beverage?
Refresh? I don't know.
Whatever. Whatever we're doing. But we are going to do all of those things, and we hope that you join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.